I should say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I know everybody's calling in from different time zones. Thank you for joining the IAG CCT call. We will start the recording now. And I would like to thank Jonathan for agreeing to chair this meeting in the interim until we facilitate the elections and the group selects chair, co-chair, or vice chair. And Jonathan, I will pass it to you.
Okay, hello everyone.
I'm going to switchboard. I'm going to hang up the direct line and use the Adobe. If Adobe drops, I will have to go back onto the direct line. Thanks.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I think we have a number of orders of business I hear. The first is probably from the staff on the results of the Duke poll. I guess I'm hearing an echo, so mute your phones. You know, we're hearing a lot of background noise. Everybody hit mute, please. Okay, the first thing I think we need to do is hear from the staff about the results of the poll with respect to how they would like to organize.
Hello, my name is Yamua Kwaku from Ghana. It is only 5:02 p.m.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, the conference call situation has changed a little bit. You don't there's not a human operator that intervenes on your way in, and so you don't need to give and spell your name when you come in. You'll just be automatically entered into the call. So can we get a summary from the staff as to the structural survey that went out?
Sure, Jonathan, this is Larissa. In the agenda, we actually embedded the results of the Doodle poll, which was conducted in order to get feedback regarding the preferred structure. And what you see there is there were 7 participants, with 1 participant voting for both options. So there were 5 individuals that were in favor of option A, which is chair and vice chair, 2 individuals that were in favor of co-chairs, and 1 individual that selected other, noting both the chair and vice chairs are independent of the commercial interests, which are regulated by ICANN's competition policy. It is not sufficient that they represent different points of view.
Okay, so this looks like from the poll that the decision seems to be the sort of typical chair and vice chair for our structure. Who all have expressed interest to be the chair of the group? If our first order of business is to identify a chair and vice chair, who do we have that have expressed interest?
John, I think everybody kind of agreed that you'd do the chair. I thought you accepted that at the last meeting.
Yeah, that was just a sub-meeting. And so, I mean, that wasn't a full meeting, I guess.
Okay.
I was nominated. And then we were going to go out to the broader group of people that have signed on to be a part of the group, and then other people, we were looking for other expressions of interest, I guess, to be the chair. So I guess, according to process,
Jonathan,
we're trying to identify if that's happened.
I'm sorry, this is Larissa again. I just wanted to let you know that on December 20th, we circulated information to the full team. And at that point, we indicated that yourself, Rudy, and Ron Androff indicated their interest to serving in the capacity of chair, co-chair, or vice chair. We asked for any additional expressions of interest regarding serving from the group by January 6th, and as of yet, there has been no additional expressions of interest.
And so we have 2 positions and 3 people. That's Cheryl.
Okay. I'm sorry to be stuttering through this initial part of this. I mean, so we need to actually make official selections, though, as the as our first order of business on this call. Is that right, Larissa?
Yes, I would think so. That would be correct. So unless someone else at this point would like to express interest in serving, then it's the three individuals. And
okay.
The group can decide whether to hold a vote at this point on the phone or whether you'd like some other means of doing the voting.
Okay.
Jonathan Cherokee.
So Evan seems to be suggesting we should do a roll call. You think that's necessary in addition to the list of names that we've already got listed in the Adobe chat room? Because there might be people that aren't on Adobe. Is that your rationale?
I didn't. Where did you see roll call on the Adobe?
Okay, so let's go ahead and do a roll call of everybody that's on. I guess I mean we've normally done that because people identify themselves on the way in. Do you have an active list of participants, Larissa? Or do we need to do that manually?
We typically do not do that. We're certainly able to do that. You can see anybody that's in the Adobe room can see the participants listed
right.
in the box on the side. So those are all the individuals that are dialed into the Adobe room. It is possible that people are not in the Adobe room and they're just dialed in. And Charles, are you able to report out who is dialed in on the phone and not in the Adobe room?
Everyone in the this is Charlotte. Everyone in the Adobe room is also on Adigo. So there are no additional participants, only on Adigo.
Cheryl, this is David Stuckman. You have David Stuckman and David Stuckman, too. I've been trying to get in, but my microphone is giving such bad feedback. I'm actually on my phone, and I'm muted on the Adobe, if that matters. Do you see what I'm talking about? David Stuckman and David Stuckman, too. I don't know what to do. I mean... it's muted. Yeah, I'm talking on my landline.
Yeah, Judy Harris is also on the phone only.
Should do what?
Judy Harris is also on via telephone only.
Okay, welcome, Judy.
Thank you.
Same with Anjali.
Anyone else is only on the phone?
Anjali Hansen, I'm getting the feedback as well. So, and I'm trying to connect to the Adobe, but I dialed in through the phone.
Okay, so we will add Judy Harris and Anjali to the list of participants in the discussion notes. So then effectively between the participants and these two individuals, we have a full roll call.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry, it's Evan. I just joined. Sorry for being late.
Didn't be a presence in any case. So the first order of business, I guess, is to discuss this issue of chair and vice chair. Someone just nominated me as the Rudy just nominated me as the chair. Do we want to decide this now here on the phone and make this decision, or do we want to do this another way, like a poll later, you know, via email? Do we feel like we have critical mass?
Can I suggest we do a roll call, though, just say we want who we want for the chair and who we want for the vice chair so we can get things moving? Because you guys indicated we needed a lot to get done in this first meeting, right? And then we can do a roll of vote.
I'm kind of that plan. I'm trying to not step on the process, that's all.
Okay, all right.
So we can certainly do that. We go in the order of the participants order here on the Adobe chat list, and have people specify who they'd like to see as chair and vice chair. Does that make sense? And then staff, if you can tabulate.
Jonathan, Cheryl here.
All right.
Hi, thanks. I did have my hand waving at you, but that's all right. We have a nomination for you as chair. That's fantastic. And we have then two, because we need to understand this, then we still have two nominees for the role of vice chair. Is that correct?
I believe that's right.
Okay. Because I'd like to suggest, before we go down, and I don't see either of the other candidates, because there were three candidates for the positions, and you've been selected by one of those other candidates and nominated for chair, so one assumes that Rudy is supporting you as chair. But that then leaves the two still looking at vice chair. Now, noting the vice chair in the poll was singular, is there any reason, Jonathan, that if you were confirmed as chair, that you could not have two vice chairs? Because if that decision was made before we go polling, it may strongly influence how people put forward the confirmation for you, and indeed particularly when you go to trying to choose between two people and one vice chair. So I wanted to propose that what we do is decide on, we had three willing bodies, we have two positions, let's change it to a chair and two vice chairs, and then should you be confirmed as chair, and I trust that you will be, that's the end of it, the other two are your vice chairs. Thank you.
Does anyone have any objection to there being two vice chairs? And who's CW has their hand?
Right, and Jonathan, this is Steve. I was going to mention that in Adobe, people can indicate agree or disagree as opposed to getting
That's
in
right.
queue to voice things like objection. And
no, no, I agree. That's why I was just asking for objection. But do you want to all just vote and agree or disagree with Cheryl's suggestion about having a chair and two vice chairs? Let's all just do that.
So for those of you, Cheryl here, who aren't used to the Adobe system, it's just above the microphone, and you've got an agree or a disagree. And obviously, Jonathan, you've got at least two people on the phone audio only, I believe. They may have to indicate that.
Right, they'll have to give their... let's go ahead and do the poll here on the on Adobe, and then we'll grab the last two answers via, the phone. So if you would go up to the top of your screen and specify agree or disagree.
Christopher Wilkinson, I think, is CW. He's abstaining and he wants to speak to the floor.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Would you like to go ahead and speak? Chris?
He may have the same problem I have. He may have to call in. Cannot hear me. No, we can't hear him. I mean, I can't.
Yeah, no, I cannot either.
Not hearing anything.
Mike Wilson, can we hear Mike now?
Christopher wants you and the other candidates to present themselves. This is becoming very formal and I would suggest very cumbersome, so perhaps you could have a 60 seconds each.
Oh, I might have my speakers muted.
Donald Miles, input.
He's saying he's never met you, Jonathan, which is why he needs presentation, apparently. Although the poll at the moment, Christopher, is simply to ascertain whether we are going to have a chair and two vice chairs. So perhaps the order of business should have been a little more strictly adhered to.
Has CW been muted? Is this on dashboard? You're complete.
I don't know. Look at Cheryl here, and I also think it's very awkward for Jonathan as interim chair to be running the probable election of himself. So if you don't all mind, I might just jump in here and actually as returning officer. As Cheryl Langdonor for the record, what we have currently polled for is the question of a chair himself. Now, he did indicate, I think he was abstaining, and I trust that was from the poll to have a chair and two vice chairs, but the majority does seem to have spoken to have accepted that. So I think democracy being what it is, we are now going to have a chair and two vice chairs. But it does seem reasonable before everyone indicates their acceptance, abstain or otherwise, for Jonathan to take the role of chair, that we do two things. We call for any other person who wishes to put themselves forward as chair. We have one nomination that has been put forward and accepted. So let's give a few seconds for anyone else to put themselves or someone else forward as chair. Please indicate if you have... Eric, I'll be as succinct as I can there. Thank you. I'm also trying to make sure that people have full and reasonable time to do what is considered to be important, which is organise our leadership. Thank you. So if anyone would like to put themselves or someone else forward as chair, speak now or forever hold your peace. In which case, Jonathan, if you'd be so kind, I'm not seeing that coming through, that if you'd be so kind as to give a succinct, to keep Eric happy, introduction to yourself for those such as Christopher who have not met you, to be able to feel that they have enough information to either vote or abstain. Over to you, Jonathan. 60, 80, 90 seconds, whatever you want.
Okay, my name is Jonathan Zook, and I'm the president of the Association for Competitive Technology, which is an international trade association of small and medium-sized application developers based in Brussels. We have about 5,000 small and medium-sized businesses that are our members, and the primary interest of my members is not in the specific outcomes of very many of the debates that take place inside ICANN, but more about the process, preserving a process in which ICANN appears to be well-run, better in the context of the UN and other forces that have come up. So the primary emails I get from my members are, make sure that ICANN keeps its current role. And so as such, one of the things that I've been a constant advocate of within the ICANN community is the establishment of metrics for management inside the organization, because to date, management and metrics ICANN have included things like hire 3 new people or spend X number of new dollars, which I never consider to be legitimate metrics. And so at one point, given the results of the ACRT recommendations and the affirmation of commitment letter, Bruce picked up on this issue and decided to form a working group that would look at metrics specific to the issues of new GTLDs and whether or not they increased consumer choice, competition, and consumer trust in the Internet. And I was very excited by that. It wasn't an organization-wide call for metrics, but it was certainly a call for metrics in a critical area of the organization, and I was part of the establishment of the metrics that we're now trying to call down manageable numbers. As far as my statement of interest, say interests are purely in the endeavor and the establishment of metrics that they're used down the road by the review team, more so than any particular interest in the outcome of any of the individual metrics.
Thank you, Jonathan. Cheryl, again, for the record. I think that gives you all sufficient context, even if some of you have not had the pleasure and privilege, which I have, of working with Jonathan on this issue and on other matters in the past. I just note that we've got Angela Hansen too, your second persona, Angela, and Carlton still with, at least on my screen, showing ticks. If they can remove those before we poll, that would be useful. If not, I'm going to have to ask that they give an audible vote because so we only have the one now. Thank you very much. Angela, you can use either of your personas. We will only count one of them, however. In that case, and having no other person bring themselves forward or nominate someone else to run against you, Jonathan, you are the only candidate. I would simply now ask for anyone who wishes to object. Please note, I'm asking for objections, and the reason I'm asking for objections is if Angela's green tick stays up there, we don't have to worry about the count. So if you object or abstain, we may as well do them both at once. If you object or abstain, would you please indicate using your cross or your step away button. So there is a step away button which would give you the little red slice. If you want to put a tick up, that's fine, but most importantly, if you object, please indicate or abstain. Please indicate on the Adobe Connect. I'm not seeing any of those. I'm now going to call for anyone who is only on the phone bridge. Is there anyone on the phone bridge who objects or wishes to abstain? I'm hearing none, in which case I will now hand the chair over to the fully concerned Jonathan to run the rest of the meeting and take the opportunity to congratulate the two other candidates, Rudy and Ron, as vice chairs. Thank you very much. Over to you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm excited to be here and excited to have Rudy and Ron as vice chairs. So thank you. I think that we had the beginnings of a meeting in Buenos Aires where we started to talk about some of the issues we'd be facing. And one of the things that we wanted to try and identify, I think, very early on are metrics that might require tracking soon, if not immediately, as this process that we're going through is going to take some time, and the earth will be changing underneath our feet as we do so. One of the things we resolved to do early on was identify data that should begun to be collected that won't be easy to collect retroactively. Once we've made these decisions. So I guess what that would amount to are metrics on which we can agree that it's worth collecting the data, recognizing, of course, it will be up to the review team which metrics and what numbers and how to interpret that data. We're not mandating that for them by any means, but whatever consensus we can reach on data that we should begin to collect at this point that will be difficult to collect later is the number one topic on the agenda for today. And so I open the floor for questions and comments. If you have questions about what I mean by that, or if you have comments, or if you want to start making recommendations, and the first and obvious one that comes to mind is any polling we might want to do as a before and after should probably take place early on. But I open it up for discussion. Evan, I see your hand up.
Thanks. It's Evan Leibovich speaking for the record. I guess I'm thinking almost in terms of a negative culling, Jonathan, in wondering, since as presumably the GNSO and ALAC were both very deliberative in choosing the metrics that they wanted, are we being selective and saying, well, of those things that were all picked, we're going to go through the things that don't need to be collected, or are you simply doing a prioritization on those things that need to be looked at right away?
At this very instant, I'm not trying to start the culling process, but identify those things that if we were, I mean, maybe this should be done in two steps, but identify those things that if we decided were important would lose their value if we did not begin collecting them right away. So it's prioritization by time sensitivity at this point is what I'm looking for, and then see if we can reach some consensus that the collection of individual data points, and that's separate from what we might suggest is what the metrics associated with those might be or the recommended outcomes, et cetera, but simply the collection of individual data that should start sooner rather than later. That's what I would love to identify first, if we can, just because it will change, right? I mean, and again, the most obvious example is a poll about how people feel about the trustworthiness of the Internet, for example, is something that, you know, there's already new TLDs entering the route as we speak. And so if we want any kind of a baseline measurement, that would need to happen sooner rather than later. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and actually that's one thing that the specific example you gave, Jonathan, is exactly something I think is worth calling attention to. Thank you.
Okay. Steve Del Bianco.
Thanks, Jonathan. Evan, to respond to the question, it's not just survey, but there are some statistical measurements that may need to be gathered now in case they are confirmed by this group as part of our metrics. I'll give you one example. In the defensive registrations area of choice, we ended up saying keeping track of the number of registrations that were done during sunrise through trademark clearinghouse access as opposed to the public registrations. There may well be that staff can determine that after the fact, but if we ask staff, do you need to capture the sunrise registrations now during sunrise, because as you know, we're going to see as many as 20 a week going through delegation, then we would want to start to gather some statistics now. And that's where we were looking for staff to be helpful on things that could be gotten after the fact from historical data, those things that had to be gathered and captured now in case they would be used.
Steve, wouldn't something like that, like for instance the sunrise registrations, wouldn't be that almost trivial to get after the fact in terms of getting dates of registrations? I mean, those are exactly the kind of things that are captured in metadata that we could come back quite some time after the fact and find out timing and what was done when.
Yeah, that would certainly be the hope. And I would ask staff to verify that not just the date of a registration, but whether the registration was done because the registrant was using the trademark clearinghouse as the means to get into the sunrise period. So the date alone won't be sufficient to know if it was a sunrise registration, since each TLD operator is allowed to allocate up to 100 other names for their own purposes that aren't part of the sunrise. So I think that I'll bet staff can solve this, Evan, and tell us a way to get many of these 70 data elements can be gotten after the fact, and I hope it's the case with nearly all of them.
Right, and I want to go through the list, but let's bookmark and say that we do want to ask staff to look at the metrics as they exist to see if any of them other than the poll, it could be the poll is the only example, are there any things other than the poll that will be difficult to trace our way back to after the fact and that we ought to begin to collect sooner rather than later. Mike? Mike Nelson?
Hello?
Yes. I think I heard you now. Go ahead. Mike Nelson?
He might be muted.
Are you speaking via microphone or on the phone? Here, let me...
Am I muted?
You're right now.
Well, this is not Mike Nelson. It's Christopher Wilkinson. But if the chair is happy with me filling the gap, that's okay with me.
You are. Go ahead, Christopher. Go ahead.
Just to say that, to draw your attention to the paper which I've posted as a contribution to the discussion. My basic position is that at this stage in proceedings, the ICANN should just collect as much data as possible, especially price data and registration data from all registrars. We will discover, and I think ICANN will discover later, what analysis will necessarily have to be done with the data collected. But it would be extremely prejudicial if in 6 months' time or a year's time, serious competition policy issues arose and it was discovered ex post facto that ICANN didn't have the data. So I think that's a baseline for the whole process. Specifically regarding registrar competition, I've discussed this in the paper that you've received, and we've put it on the agenda as the next point. Thank you.
Okay, Christopher, I think that's a good point in theory. I guess in practice, I think this group wants to recommend to staff specific data sets that they might be trying to collect that can be found amongst our 70 metrics that were created that were recommended by the GNSO ALAC, so that it's really about identifying data that we can't decide after the fact to go back and research. And so, I mean, I agree that just collecting the world of data would be good, but I think helping the staff to define that world is part of our job here.
I'm not against that approach. As a staff practitioner in the past, the whole idea of collecting 70 different categories of data sort of raised my eyebrows. There are a few. First of all, it's cheaper to collect data and analyze it later than to try and decide exactly
you need. That's all we're deciding, is just to collect it, not to analyze it. So it's more about trying to figure out, whether the data will be difficult to collect. And so there is some data that might have a cost associated with collecting it, et cetera. And so
I would refer to the staff as far as the cost of collecting data is concerned. But for instance, I noticed this paper from the ICANN Legal Service recommending against the collection of price data. Now, from a competition policy point of view, that's absurd.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway.
Right, and so we may need to find solutions to that. So the question really is going to be whether or not that data, whether or not it should be collected, could be collected after the fact, or if we need to start collecting it now before this work group finishes it. That's really the question here. Mike, that your question about the legality of data collection, I think, is relevant and will be a way that we'll need to evaluate whatever list we come up with now, in addition to whatever list we come up with as a function of our work group. But the issue is, what data would we like to see collected now and that can't be collected later? Ray, do you have input on that?
Hi, this is Ray Fassett. Sort of, Jonathan. I don't know. I guess I'm maybe backing up a couple steps here. I just heard a couple of times the mention of the polling and the data collection, et cetera, and this is all about consumer trust in the Internet. And I just want a little clarification. Excuse me. I think it's about consumer trust in the domain name system.
That's right.
So any data we're collecting, has to do with that, then, you know, there's a question here of whether non-public data is useful, collecting that data is useful or not in polling to find out if consumers have increased or lost trust in the domain name system. I'm not sure that's relevant, but I think the discussion is healthy. Thanks.
Okay. Steve, do you have another comment to make?
Yes, Jonathan, it was a response to Christopher Wilkinson with respect to pricing. All ICANN
right.
said is ICANN Legal clarified that the non-public price data, which is the wholesale prices that registries offer to registrars, that ICANN Legal rendered an opinion that they couldn't be the ones to collect that. Someone else could collect it, but they claimed that it could not be collected and tagged and identified by ICANN. And I refer you to Appendix C of the advice letter to know whether they have a valid concern. And whether they have a valid concern or not, I would ask staff whether wholesale data is available at all, and if not, we would have to investigate having somebody collect the wholesale data, maybe even to anonymize it in such a way that particular registrars don't reveal the wholesale prices that they're getting as a competitive advantage over other registrars. Because as you know, some registrars get different wholesale prices if they offer to do additional levels of marketing or shelf space. So that's the first response to Christopher. And the second to Ray. Hi, Ray. With respect to the survey, it always helps to be specific. So I just pasted into the chat the exact language that the advice letter had indicated about the survey on trust. And to your point, it only looked at trust in DNS. And we delineated several things that the survey would try to ascertain, you know, before and after the expansion of TLDs. So it's so much better for us to specifically look at those elements. Now, if we're okay that we're probably surveying most of the right elements of trust, then the only outcome on today's call is to task staff to help us understand the RFP that would have to be issued to get a survey run as soon as possible. And then we can all debate the particular questions that are in the survey, but we ought to get started in the process of figuring out if we need a survey now, and if so, what are the steps to get one contract left. Thank you.
That's right. So that's, I mean, I guess, I think we have rough consensus that if we're going to do a survey, it probably needs to happen sooner rather than later. I think we have rough consensus of that. So the question is, are there any other data points that anyone else can see among the 70 that, you know, the data sets that were suggested for metrics that would be difficult to obtain after the fact? The answer may be not, that there aren't any, but I just want to make sure that we're aware of any data that will be tougher to collect 6 months from now than it is to collect, you know, data about what's happening right now will be tougher to collect 6 months from now than it is now. So does anybody have any additional input into that, including staff, given the analysis you've done of data that is particularly time sensitive, and then we can have a substantive discussion about that data if we think it's time sensitive. If it's not, we don't need to have that conversation right now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This is Judy Harris on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm new to all of this, so I'm not all that familiar with the 70 criteria or anything else, so please understand that in light of the comment I'm going to make. I would love to see collection of the aggregate costs kind of per GTLD application, and I don't know whether that will be preserved in some fashion. In other words, the application fee, the cost for that any applicant has to pay for to go through the objection process, to go through any of the various steps in the process. Some of those costs will be paid over to ICANN, and others of them will be, be private to the applicant, and I don't know whether they'd be willing to share them or not, but it would be, you know, including any fees in connection with an auction, any monies ultimately bid in order to win a particular GTLD, and I just don't know enough to know whether starting to collect that now would be easier than waiting till the end of the process. because I don't know if it's going to be kept in any fashion, sort of applicant by applicant, but I do think it'd be a good matrix to know when we go to the evaluation.
Thank you for your comments. I guess the question is whether or not that data will be difficult to collect after the fact. I mean, if you, I want to encourage everybody on this group, if I can, to go back and read the two advice letters, because I think we're going to all be making reference to them. We're not starting from scratch on this group. What we're doing is starting from that list of 70 and trying to boil it down to a smaller number that's more affordable, basically. I mean, that's essentially our charter. And so we're certainly look for additional metrics that people have thought of. I don't want to be exclusionary, but I think people are going to be referring to those two documents quite a bit in the course of this conversation. So I definitely want to make it a homework assignment for everyone in the group to go back and go back over and refresh your memories with those two advice letters so that we're all on the same page and talking about the same stuff.
Because John, I've got from December,
other advice letter. I'm sorry?
You said there's two. I've got the one December 12, or whatever. There's another one also. I made hard copies. I've been reading them and studying them, but if there's two, maybe I better find the other one.
Would those be circulated just so we're...
Yeah, I've only got one, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm working on
it. Jonathan, may I clarify? Yeah. Steve?
Yeah, guys, Steve.
Yeah, the letter, the GNSO advice letter had metrics, and then there was an addendum that was provided by the At-Large Advisory Committee, or ALAC, that added several new consumer trust metrics on top of that. So they're additive, and that's why Jonathan's right to think of it as two advice letters.
Okay.
Staff has already compiled all of this material. It doesn't need to be circulated. It's far better if folks will just click on the wiki for this work group. Larissa just put it up in the chat. So if any of you click on that and look at the reference materials, we're speaking of, everything is there. And there's also, not just in the reference materials, but in the actual list of metrics, they're in a table form. All 70 of them are in a tabular form. Thanks.
Will do.
And
thank
the table
you.
Is a godsend.
I have them. I just was misunderstanding. Okay.
Jonathan, this is Evan. I've had my hand up for a bit.
Hey, I'm back. Sorry about that, folks. I got dumped off the call.
He dropped. Okay, you got Evan, Christopher, and Steve still.
Okay, Evan, go ahead.
First of all, I think with 15 minutes left in the call, I don't think we're going to be able to go point by point through everything right now, especially since a lot of people need to re-review the original documents. Is it possible to have as an action item here to perhaps assign a couple of people to work with staff, flag those particular items that are likely to have metadata that might not be routinely collected anyway, like to go back to the example you gave before of what kind of applications in Sunrise came as a result of the clearinghouse as opposed to which came organically. If that kind of thing isn't routinely being collected anyway, is there perhaps some value to having staff go through, perhaps together with a couple of people assigned by this group, working with them, to try and flag those kind of things that might not be automatically being collected by the contracted parties? To try and, you know, call attention to the kind of thing that ICON might need to take action on independent of. I think some of that was already done in the original analysis, but just to have a couple of people go through that, and I'm suggesting perhaps that this group assign a couple of people for the sake of expediency to work together with staff, make sure those things are identified as we try and figure out and prioritize what needs to be done. That way we can bring to the surface the stuff that would not naturally be collected anyway, and that might be the kind of thing that ICANN has to work faster on collecting. As to the point that was raised about reseller pricing, Personally, I guess this is just my own opinion, I'm not too worried about that. We are talking about consumer confidence. The internal prices that are charged back and forth between the internal parties, I don't think has a huge bearing on consumer confidence, since it's consumer pricing that would actually be affecting that. So, you know, we're not here measuring reseller confidence. So that's why, you know, the arguing over, you know, what's the internal data and what we have access to. Personally, I think that by having the publicly available data, that is the data that is available to people who buy domains and to end users, for the purposes of what we are doing here, I don't think we need to go on a hunting expedition beyond that. And as for the points Ray was making about the confidence in the DNS, one of the issues that was extremely important to at large, if we're talking about consumer confidence, is confidence in the DNS as a whole, as opposed to individual components of the expansion program. Is the TLD expansion going to mean that people are using the domain system less because they trust it less? That's the kind of metrics that was being looked at by the study. And so none of this that I recall had to do with confidence in the Internet as a whole. That was clearly out of scope. But what is in scope is looking at not just individual issues about this registry or that registry, but was the entire domain name expansion increasing or decreasing consumer confidence in the domain name system as a way of finding Internet information. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. So that's a number of different issues, but just getting us back to the one, I want to get you back to your first suggestion, which I think is a good one, and I would like to nominate you and Steve to work together with staff to identify if there's any data that we need to collect sooner other than a survey, data that we need to collect sooner, or it'll lose accuracy or get eroded over time if we wait too long to begin collecting it. Can I nominate Steve and Evan to work with staff to identify for our next call specific data that, if we want it, we need to start collecting it now?
Is Evan, I'm okay with that.
Okay, thanks.
Jonathan, hi.
Yeah.
Just a word here. I've no objection to anybody working with the staff to find to simplify the data collection, but actually I disagree with what Evan has just said. The first C.
I only
want to
deal with the first thing he said, please. Just the first thing he said is the only thing we're discussing this moment. So I don't want to keep having conversations about pricing data and things like that. What we're trying to deal with is the time urgency of individual data points. That's the only topic of conversation right now. I'm not trying to be a hard ass, but that's the only thing we're talking about right now is the time sensitivity of data. The other
on that topic, Jonathan,
data's in or out. Excuse me.
We already have registrars discriminating between registries in terms of pricing and shop space. And they can't do that if they did not have market power. So that is a competition issue.
And I think that's a fair point for discussion in the group. I'm just trying to keep to our own agenda right now, which is
it's Jonathan, it's Margie. If I can, I'm in the queue. If you could put me in the queue.
Okay.
Jump the queue.
Go ahead.
Okay, because it relates to the staff request. And so before we get off on that topic, I don't think it's as simple. This is Margie from staff. I don't think it's as simple as assigning someone to work with staff, because if you think about it, we're talking about 70 metrics that hit all kinds of departments, and this is something that isn't easy to identify even within staff who that person would be that has knowledge of all of these various metrics. And so I really would urge this group to reconsider the approach, because I just don't think we'll find time to gather someone from each department to say, okay, which metrics do you think we already collect or we already don't collect? Because as you can imagine, each of those departments are very busy working on their existing projects, and we just won't get the kind of return of information as quickly as this group would like. I mean, you guys were talking about next week, for example.
that just isn't going to happen. And so, you know, and also if you think about it, 70 metrics, you know, asking for staff time on 70 metrics for this issue right now when you haven't even prioritized, you know, which ones you think are important or not important, I think, you know, is really asking for a lot of time on the staff side. I would suggest perhaps looking at it from a different perspective, prioritizing which ones you think are important first, and then, you know, and then we can go to staff, and at least we've narrowed the list of what we're asking them to look for. But again, it's not going to be one person. It's going to vary depending upon the metric.
Marjorie, do you say like top 20, top 20 priority, top 10, top 30? I mean,
it's hard, you know, it's hard to say. I think when we met in person, we were talking about prioritizing per category, which has, I think makes sense. You know, so and it's not a question of, you know, 5 are great or 10 are great. You know, it's more a qualitative issue as to, okay, if we're looking at these are the ones that we really think would nail it from a substantive perspective, and that might be 5 in one category and 4 in another. But that's the kind of work that, you know, I think the group needs to do before we start, you know, going back to the various members of the staff and saying, okay, you know, which ones, you know, can you do, or which ones, you know, do you have access to right now? Because you are asking for a lot of time right now, and I just don't think you'll get the turnaround as quickly as you'd like.
Steve, did you want to say something on that?
Yeah, thank you. Steve Del Bianco. And Margie, we did discuss this point briefly in Buenos Aires, because of the 70 metrics we have now, there are many that don't even come from ICANN. They come from outside ICANN. 1.16, 1.15, they come from anti-phishing working group. They might come from law enforcement agencies or Interpol. Spam House is listed, as well as some other data groups. So not all the data can be determined by talking to people at ICANN staff, and I don't want that to become the bottleneck. If Evan and I were able to do this, I guess as two members of the original group, we would take a pass through the 70 we have, and we would see of the 70 we have, we would raise which of these we think may need to be gathered now, because it would not be possible to get the data after the fact. And so Evan and I would do a deep dive into this Sunrise registrations item, for example. And we'd indicate considerations that might lead that to be a gather-in-advance item versus a we-can-get-it-later item. So the output of the work that Evan and I would do, I guess it wouldn't have to go to staff. I know that was Evan's original suggestion, but it might well just be a document that we display for all of us, including staff, that indicates that of the 70 items, which have considerations that lead to further investigation. If that's the case, then you don't have to ask staff on all 70, Margie. You would only have to get staff to weigh in where Evan and I have raised questions about data availability for some subset of the 70. Not necessarily prioritized, but only those for which there's some question of whether the data can be found after the fact.
Okay, and so So the idea is you're going to go back to staff on a subset of them, but at this point they're still not prioritized, is your suggestion, Steve, right?
That's right.
That's exactly right. And by the way, prioritizing is really hard for us to do, since when we prioritize, we are eventually going to need to know what it's going to cost to gather the data, because we would rank the value of the data divided by the cost of the data to get some sense of prioritizing. It may well be
exactly.
That we can make do with some other metrics that are less expensive in order to get at something that we needed to get to. I also wanted to clarify that the 70 we are starting with, which is the ALAC GNSO, it may or may not include things that newcomers to this process have figured out that they'd like to gather, and Judith and Christopher have brought up a couple of it now. I don't think we're considering anything other than the 70 just for the purposes of whether we need to gather it now. I realize that this group may well look at items other than the original 70. That's fine. But we're not going to do that in the next 2 weeks when we need to start gathering early data.
Starting point.
I agree completely with Steve, Margie. Our process of prioritization, I think, is going to be a lengthy one. And so if Evan and Steve can call it down to things that are obviously able to be collected later and questionable about whether they can be collected later, then that will lead to, I think, a very small subset of the 70 for which need to be hunted down whether or not they are time sensitive.
Yeah. Jonathan, this is Evan. I absolutely agree with what Steve said, and that's very close to what I intended. The staff consultation, I think, is going to be limited to those things where we may want to identify the kind of thing that essentially just to figure out what is being collected in metadata and what is stuff we may need to flag that might have to be collected. And the biggest problem with putting that off is that by the time we come back to it, the data is lost and we've missed that ability to collect something, let alone have the review team evaluate it down the road. Thanks.
That's right. So I guess I'm going to just assign Steve and Evan to start that process, and then we'll see what they cull it down to, and we'll see if it's manageable. The questions that they come up with, if they're manageable, we'll assess at that time.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay, all right.
Jonathan, it's Steve. One last point. I mean, I don't know who the individual EBW is. I'm anxious to learn.
Eric.
Eric, there is no ranking, prioritizing, or any of that associated with what that Evan Leibovich and I are suggesting. It's simply looking
right.
at the 70 we have and asking the question, is the data available after the fact or must it be gathered in advance? That's all.
That's right. So before we finish here, I'd like to take a very quick poll. So if everybody would use your agreement icon, is there anyone who objects to the idea of us getting started early, making a priority to get a poll done? Is there anyone that objects to that idea? Please specify that objection by raising your hand, I guess.
Jonathan, could you state the question again?
Yes, I believe that there's a consensus that one of the things we need to do sooner rather than later is take a consumer poll to establish a baseline in terms of consumer trust and confidence. And so I believe that is a consensus of the group. I want to know if anyone objects to that belief, and if not, I want to task the staff with looking into how we go about doing a poll and probably set our agenda for the next meeting to really start to dive into what the questions of that poll would look like. So are there any objections to that is my question.
And Steve has put the poll advice language into the chat. This is Cheryl. Jonathan, I note Michael Finn has his hand up. I don't know whether that's an attempt to vote or he wishes to speak.
I don't either. So, Michael, do you want to speak up? We can't hear you.
Not at all.
Michael, do you want to type something into the chat?
He is.
That's Mike Nelson I see typing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Michael Flynn has his hand up.
Eric, I think the not at all was a comment by someone else about the being able to hear Michael. That's why we need to clarify.
That's right. Christopher, do you still have your hand up? I don't see your hand up.
Well, yes, briefly. Regarding the poll, my main question would be the scale of the poll in order to get it get anything that was significant. Because a poll of a small number to be globally representative would be extremely difficult. And a poll of a large number that would be significant might be expensive. I don't have any objection to the poll, but I have reservations about its feasibility, which I'm sure that the staff will advise us about in due course. But I do want to insist that fair competition between registries and registrars is primarily in the consumer's interest.
I disagree with Evan when he said that these are internal prices which are of no interest to consumer confidence. We can go into this in greater detail in our next meeting or in writing. But the first C in the CCT is competition. And the purpose of ICANN in the competition area is to regulate the conditions of competition between registrars and registrars. And there's evidence that particularly as a result of the reverse backward integration decision, that the market power of registrars has been considerably enhanced. Whether this was deliberate or by accident, I will pass on, but consequently, from my point of view, the conditions of competition between registrars and registrars is one of the most important issues for this group.
And I would agree, Christopher. You know, pricing is one of the things that's in the 70 now, so it's definitely on the agenda to be discussed. There's no question.
Okay, fine.
So that's
thank you.
It's
a matter of prioritizing in terms, Cheryl here, in terms of whether we need to get started with some things. And one of the proposals of getting started with something sooner rather than later is the survey data, because as we all agree, it is an art form. They need to be properly designed and properly done, and none of that happens either fast or cheaply.
Yeah,
so,
but the principle of indeterminacy prevails. One of the main demonstrations to the registrars to discourage them from discriminatory practices is quite clearly an early notice from ICANN, and indeed from the likes of us, that discriminatory practices by registrars will be monitored from the point of view of fair competition.
You still got
we need to put them on notice, brothers.
Yeah, fine.
No one's disagreeing with you,
Christopher. You've still got Margie's hand, Jonathan.
Yeah, Margie, is your hand up?
Thank you. I just wanted to remind the group that the mandate of the group is to make recommendations to the board, and then the board, you know, looks at them and proceeds with it. So any suggestion that there would be a poll written now and done now, I think is really not the process that was envisioned when the group was created. And I also wanted to agree with, I think it was Christopher's comments about, you know, the care and cost associated with doing this kind of survey. In my view, it's not the same as some of the surveys we do when we're trying to, you know, get information from registrars or you know, within the small ICANN sphere on a particular policy issue, but this is a much more global outreach where you're going to probably want a third-party provider, you know, perhaps a university or a commercial
right.
entity that specializes
exactly.
in it. So it's not something that's going to happen very quickly, and it's going to be costly. So,
yes.
you know, if you're talking about something that you want done sooner rather than later, my advice to the group would be to identify those issues now, send that up to the board right away, so we can get the buy-in and the approval to go forward on that, and the budget associated with that, and then focus
Agreed.
On the longer term ones later, in the second phase, in order to satisfy everyone's need to get this information sooner rather than later.
I think that's right, Margie. Who else is speaking? So, Margie, I think that's exactly right. I think that we will probably need to short circuit the intentions of the board in this case if we identify things that need to happen right away and go up with an interim set of recommendations for things that we think are time sensitive. I think that's definitely the case. So the request of staff at this point is just to begin to look at what the cost and logistics would be associated with constructing a poll, and then I think we should devote a significant part of our next call to making a decision about whether to do a poll or whether to recommend doing a poll, I guess is the proper way of phrasing it. And what the contents of that should be. Because I think it is something that exists that if we are going to do it and if polling is going to be a part of the data that's available to the review team down the road, it's something that needs to happen sooner rather than later. I think there seems to be a rough consensus that that is, in fact, the truth. So whether or not we do a poll and what the contents of that poll should be probably the top of our agenda for our next meeting. But if you could take away as an assignment to kind of look at what the logistics and costs of that would be, that can help us to evaluate whether or not it's just insurmountable, as a couple of folks have suggested. Does that sound reasonable?
I think we should talk about it at the next call, because the question is, what is the poll, you know, what, I'm not sure yet what the poll's intended to address. We have, you know, which metric are we talking about?
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely a poll. There's a description of a possible poll in the document.
In the book.
1.4.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking about 1.4. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to call this meeting to a close. I know some people have to get off the call. Steve and Evan have the assignment of trying to do a quick assessment for questions that need to be asked of staff about time-sensitive data. And we're going to make the poll issue number one on our next call. I want to thank everybody for participating. We've got a tough road ahead, but I'm still really excited about the work that we're doing. And thank you so much for participating.
John, have you got a targeted date for the next meeting?
I don't. So we'll handle that via email, I guess.
Okay.
Can I just make one plea that as staff is suggesting dates for the next call, they look for dates and times that are as clear as possible of clashed commitments. There is the shared calendar now in the My ICANN space, and I'm trying to encourage everyone to put their meetings in there because it does help minimise doing two or three meetings at once. Thanks. And thank you, Jonathan.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl. That's a good suggestion. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, all.
Thank you. Bye.
We're adjourned.
Bye. Thanks, Jonathan. You've done a great job trying to herd these cats.